you're offended today at somebody, it is a signal, not just that they did something wrong or someone disappointed you or made you mad. It's a signal something in your heart needs to heal, because the Lord wants us to walk in victory. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If you can't do that, it's because of some inward condition that maybe was caused by some conflicts or offenses that happened when you were a child, but you don't have to stay that way. Who knows? There's healing in Jesus. I heard of a story of a guy that got married. He was a newlywed. And anytime his wife was gone for an unexpected period of time, when she would come home, he would absolutely explode and just over the top in his reaction. And it related to an unhealed hurt. He had a big brother in the military, gone to war, who came home from war and borrowed his newly purchased car. And he didn't see that car again for like a long time, like years. And so when she would be gone, it would trigger him, and out would come this out of proportion response when it wasn't an offense at all. You know, when your thumb gets smashed with a hammer, until it heals, just this feels like a hammer, right? So an unhealed hurt can make something look like an offense when it's not. It's an unhealed hurt you have, and the Lord wants to heal us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Many offenses are related to unmet expectations. The guy I was telling you about expected his wife to be back in 30 minutes or an hour, however long it was. And that expectation wasn't met. And so it became an offensive situation that grew out of proportion because of his inward condition. We saw that ineffective prayers can be caused by selfish wills. We're praying our will, not God's will. It's his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not my will, it's not my kingdom. And when we get expectations and we demand them in prayer and they don't happen, then we get offended at God. And you can go to him with your offense. He can handle it. Just don't be cursing him and stuff. But tell him how you really feel and how you need to be healed. The story is not over. You know, Jesus went to see Mary and Martha, and they were upset he hadn't come earlier, because now their brother had been dead for 4 days and was stinking, and it was all history. If he had come, we knew you could have healed him. So they were offended at his delay. But who knows, sometimes a delay is not a denial. Sometimes it's a setup. It was a setup for a bigger miracle, resurrecting that guy from the dead. Blinded by selfish desires, we forget God loves us. Our pride will blind us to the fact God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son. He became poor so that you might be made rich in heavenly riches. He became naked so that you might be clothed in white robes of righteousness. He became sin so that we might become righteous. He died so that we could live. He went to Hades so we don't have to. Are you glad about it? Yeah. The folly of our prideful ways doesn't rob us of God's blessing, because he extends grace and more grace when we don't decide it. If you'll hear the truth and run to him, he will forgive, he'll cleanse, and he'll get you on the right path towards healing in any area of life that is bothering you. He'll help you overcome the mountain of disappointment that's keeping you awake at night. What's keeping you awake at night? I am convinced that when we can't sleep, those thoughts coming in our mind are not from God, because he promises us sweet sleep. Unless those thoughts are calling us to pray, they're tormenting thoughts, there's some kind of entity, maybe your own programming, causing you to think things that are tormenting you shouldn't. Run to the Lord and get grace. Get prayer for healing of insomnia. James 4, 6, and 7, we read this last week. But he gives more grace. Can we say more? There's a verse in the Gospels that says he gives grace for grace. I know God has grace, but I'm not worthy. No, he gives you grace for that too. He gives us grace so we can receive his grace. He gives more grace than we deserve. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we're prideful, the Lord will not listen to our prayers. Talk to the hand. But he hears the cry of the humble. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. The resistance in your life may not be the devil, it may be the Lord. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, there's memes out there saying, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's not the whole verse. Without submission to God, you and I have no authority. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And if we live a life submissive to him, then we have authority over the enemy. But if we set out on our own, it doesn't work because he won't flee from us. On our own, we have no authority. It's like a deputy in the sheriff's department that gets fired. He no longer is a deputy. He no longer has the authority of the sheriff behind him. He has no power to make arrests, to, you know, give out citations. Power comes from those higher than us. Ultimately, if you follow the chains of command, it all goes to God if it's legitimate authority. So we submit to God, resist the devil. Yes, some people resist God, submit to the devil. You got it backwards. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We saw that submitting to his authority gives us spiritual power. We just shared that. And nearness to God is granted to all who draw near to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Today, we're looking at James 4, 11, and 12. Can we read that? Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother. No, I'm not. I'm just spreading some gossip or some slander. That's judging. You made a judgment call, a harsh judgment on someone. And whoever judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. No, I don't. How does that work? The law says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we're speaking evil of someone, we're not loving them. Nobody wants evil to be spoken of about them. So we're not loving our neighbor as we love ourselves when we speak evil of them. Somehow we think our opinions outrank the law, outrank God. Earlier in this book, it talks about the royal law of love. If we're doing unto others as we would have them do unto us, we're loving our neighbor. If we're loving one another as Christ has loved us, that's the new command he gave. He raised the level of the great command. If we're doing that, we will not speak evil of each other. But when we do, we are actually in rebellion against the commands of Christ. He speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. You've become rebellious and trying to be God in the situation. Speaking to somebody today, there is one lawgiver, Almighty God, who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Who are you? Mr. Big Stuff, who do I think I am? Now, if a brother may be going astray, we are to go to them in a spirit of gentleness, getting the log out of our eye, to show most people when they're in error, there's a blind spot, to help them clear up their perception of things. And if they accuse you of judging them, don't buy that. That's abusing the word judge. The world's got it all backwards. We speak evil of each other, that's not judging, but to go to someone out of concern for the direction of their life, like you flag down a brother who's speeding through your neighborhood, and says, you're judging me. Who's seen the silly show, My Name is Earl? Okay. One of the actresses on the main, My Name is Earl, is Rhett Butler, the comedian. And she, for several shows, episodes, was in a wheelchair. And one day, someone came home from work early and saw her walking around the house. She didn't have any problem. So when confronted, she said, "Stop judging me." It's making fun of that abuse of the word judge in our culture. So today I'd like to talk to you on the perils of evil judging. We're going to talk about wrong judging, then we'll talk about right judging. The perils of judging wrongfully. The perils, it's actually evil. If you speak evil of someone, that is evil. Evil judging includes speaking ill of one another. James 4:11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. I know the Bible says I'm not supposed to do this, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. You're in a position that's not yours to have. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, one real judge. Who are you to judge another? Now, our judging, if it's appropriate, relates to the authority we've been given. So you can't punish your neighbor's kids. You have no authority. That's a judgment call to be made to the parents. Now, you can report to the parents. If you do it in love, it might work. If you don't do it in love, it may not work. And then you have to release it and not get on the telephone and talk bad about them. You've done your job. It's over. You're leaving it between God. Make room for Jesus. I have learned when in conflict with someone and there's no resolution that can be had, to just make a little space. Never cut people off. Make space. And I call that space room for Jesus. And he is able to heal and do stuff. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Time has a way of healing, right? Thinking much too highly of ourselves. Evil judging. Who do you think you are? Evil judging includes thinking much too highly of ourselves. By the grace we've been given, the Bible says, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So the sphere of authority you have, you make sober judgment calls, but don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Having learned the importance of wisdom and the perils of being prideful and the values of being humble, don't become the police now to be on the lookout for who's full of pride and who's not humble. That's taking it too far, right? The preacher that wrote the book entitled Humility and How I Attained It lost it. Evil judging includes forgetting our own need for grace. We all have blind spots, and when addressed, be thankful when someone comes to you and has the courage. Thank them. Don't push back. Thank them. If you push back, then they have to go get somebody else to come to you, and hopefully you will respond. If that doesn't work and you're really doing something wrong, then they'll approach the leadership of the church and they'll approach you. It's Jesus' instructions in Matthew 18. By the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You ever get gas at Graceway? That's a new company. Somebody needs to start it. New company name. The Graceway is the way of life, recognizing that everything is granted to us, not on our merits, but on his merits. We were separated from God, and Jesus made a way, not because of our goody two-shoesiness, is that a word? Because of grace. Graceway. Evil judging includes doing those same kind of things. If you judge someone wrongfully, you wait. I see it again. I've been pastoring for 30-something years. People get all uppity with each other or towards somebody, they will wind up doing the same thing. Oh, but I have reasons. Well, you don't think the other person you're mad at has their reasons? So I often caution, be careful, you're crossing the line, you'll wind up doing the same thing that's bugging you. Go to them in love and courage. If you don't, and it's evil judging going on in your heart and mind, you will find yourself in the same scenario. Oh, yeah, you may be the king of excuses and thinking that covers. The bottom line, what were you offended at? What were you hurt at? What were you mad at? You're doing the same thing. Romans 2:1. I believe we're living in Romans 1:16 through 2:11. Romans 1:16 is about the power of the gospel to the Jew and the Gentile. And then it goes into the problems that God has allowed to come upon the world because they have rejected him as a whole. Horrible things are happening in our culture. God's allowing it. But then chapter 2 puts the focus on the church. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man or woman, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. One of the keys to walking in victory over certain kinds of sins is to search your heart and say, God, who have I judged? When I find myself in despair or hurting more than I should be over certain scenarios, I get on my knees and have the Lord search my heart if I've judged anybody. Because judging blocks the grace of God we need. Who knows, we need grace to live with fruit in our lives. So if you're finding that really hard and it's an inward condition, say, Lord, have I judged anyone harshly? Have I passed judgment? Have I condemned? And he'll point it out to you, and you repent, and you watch, man, the grace just flows. Here comes the joy again. Circumstances may not change, but you're able to walk with knowing God is not, the story's not over, and God is in control. Evil judging includes trapping us in cycles of sinning. I got ahead of myself in the deal, but if you just keep doing the same sin, the same sin, the same sin, who have you judged? If you've made a vow in your heart, like, I will never be like my dad, what's behind that vow? You have judged your dad. He may be annoying as heck. Sorry for using that word. But if you were in his shoes when he was a kid, maybe he's doing the best he can. So repent for making that vow. How many alcoholics in the world are alcoholics as children of alcoholics who made a vow in their heart as a kid, they judge their parents, I'll never be an alcoholic. I'll never this and I'll never that. Maybe you did that and you're not an alcoholic, but there could be other addictions that you're prone to do. You can get trapped by judging and making vows about people. Extend grace to your forefathers. Extend, you know, maybe your mom is in prison for killing somebody. Extend her grace. Love her. Keep in touch with her. Don't judge her. She's in a place where she can't do any more harm, theoretically. If she does, then there will be more punishment. Evil judging includes receiving our own sentencing. Maybe you think somebody should die or you think somebody should suffer for what they've done or hadn't done, and you find yourself experiencing that very thing you wanted them to go through. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it again and again and again in my own life and in the lives of others. So don't be quick to issue out edicts and sentences on people and putting people on probation and this, that, and the other. You find yourself out in the cold. You wanted them out in the cold, yet you're out in the cold. So repent for judging wrongfully, and you watch the grace of God flow in like a river. Do not judge, Jesus said. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then he goes on in that same chapter to talk about some other things that relate to judging. Evil judging includes distorting my perceptions, our perceptions. There's something that happens when we judge someone. We can't see them in any other light. We have a template that we have put them in, and they could have been really bad, and now they made some big changes and you won't see it. And if you speak evil of people because of this, then you form a stronghold where they feed you information and you feed off each other. And you filter out anything that's contrary to your judging. You're trapped. A stronghold is built. There's nothing worse than someone that takes up somebody else's offense and helps them stay offended. Don't do that to your friend. If you love them, disagree with them. Well, they won't be my friend anymore. It may take a little while, but tell them the truth in love. We got to stop this. Jesus said in Luke 11 and in Matthew 6, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Nobody thinks that they see things as light that's really darkness. He says, be careful. The light you think, everybody thinks they have 20/20 vision. That's what gives them the right to pass judgment on others. Be careful that you're not walking in darkness. He's talking about perception. We know our eyeballs doesn't generate light so we can see. We need a flashlight. He's talking about our perception of things. The lamp of the body is the eye. That's a metaphor for our perception. If you have good perception, you're full of light. If your perception is bad, you're full of darkness. Everything you see will confirm that you have good perception. Meanwhile, you don't. You're blind as a bat because of judgmentalism. Get that log out your eye. Get that log out your eye. Evil judging includes polluting all our relationships. It'll pollute them. You gather people around you that also judge others. Birds of a feather flock together. And it will be unhealthy. And eventually, you will turn on each other. I've seen it. Not here. I'm friends with other pastors. Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. The writer of Hebrews says, pursue peace with all people, say everybody, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Folks, unforgiveness is a serious problem. But bitterness is even worse. What is bitterness? Bitterness is something that develops from unforgiveness. Do not let your unforgiveness develop into bitterness. You'll wind up becoming bitter at God, bitter at life, bitter at yourself, bitter at your family, bitter at your spouse, bitter at, well, you got the point. Judging can lead to this because of the consequences for judging someone wrongfully. They'll come on you and you'll get bitter because you don't think you deserve that because you're the good guy. You're the nice lady. There's such a thing as sugar-coated daggers. I have to say this about Yankees. They tend to be more blunt than we are in the South. And the longer I live, the more I like bluntness. is if they tell me they love me, I know it's real. But I it's a Yankee there. I had a guy right back there where Elder Greg is sitting, told me, where was Billy Graham when you got started? Man, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, blah, 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 blah. It was flattering. I never saw him again here. That was his goodbye speech. All right, enough of the negative side. What's the positive side? Can we judge righteously? We can when it is in our authority to do so, and there's a way to and way not to. Righteous judging includes being merciful. Galatians 6, 1 through 3, this is the exercise of mercy in seeing someone that's in error. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. In other words, you judge harshly, someone in error, you judge them harshly, you're going to get tempted too. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. The problem with judging wrongfully is deception. The problem with being deceived is you are deceived and don't know it. Righteous judging includes being merciful. Righteous judging includes not judging according to appearances. Remember, Samuel was sent by the Lord to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. And boy, Jesse had some fine-looking sons. And the Lord said, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. And when he ran through all the sons that he thought would be anointed, is this it? Lord says, there's someone here. Oh, we got a kid out in the field with his harp watching the sheep. He's probably not smelling very good. I'm embellishing the story. So they sent for David, this red-faced, ruddy kid. And God said, this is the one. God looks at the heart. David grew up to be a man after God's own heart. Not perfect, made serious mistakes, but he didn't make excuses for his mistakes. He drew near to the Lord. It's me. He suffered consequences royally for some of the things he did. But he had a heart for God. Jesus said in John 7, 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Righteous judgment considers the heart, not the appearance. Oh, yeah. You can make a case of what could have been or should have been in passing your judgment, but that's based on appearance. What actually happened is what we have to deal with. Righteous judging includes not going beyond our authority. Don't become a vigilante for justice and start killing folks when maybe they're worthy of death. That's for those that have that authority in society. Don't try to be God in the situation. God's not moving fast enough. Who's seen some of these end time movies? If I can somehow get a hold of the clip, or if you can get it to me, I will show it from time to time. In one of the end time movies is Mr. T, who gets tired of being patient. He picks up a machine gun, begins to blow away people as he says, I'm tired of waiting on God. He's going to help God out. Going beyond his authority. Righteous judging includes not practicing vengefulness. This is a big one. Cannot become vengeful. Romans 12, 19, do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And when it happens, don't gloat. Proverbs says, lest the Lord take his hand of judgment off of them. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Hebrews 10, 30 and 31 says, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That comes from Deuteronomy 32. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Get out of God's way. If you try to judge righteously and it backfires on you and it doesn't work, just make room for Jesus. Stay out of his way and let God deal with it. If they're causing havoc in the lives of others, then go to people with authority to deal with, to do something. By all means, call the police when you need to. According to Romans 13, they are God's servants of vengeance, servants for righteousness that bear not the sword in vain. They're not perfect either, but let me tell you, if we do not have them in culture, we got a problem. So back in 2020, I never said defund the police. I said refund the police. They're not being paid enough. That's part of the problem. Amen. Righteous judging includes erring on the side of mercy. Why? Because you need mercy. I need mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Be merciful. Luke 6:36 and 37, Jesus said, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men heap what you give into your bosom. And that verse is often quoted during offering times when you pass the plate, right? But if you read the context, it relates to giving, forgiving, condemning, and judging. So what are you giving out? It's going to come back. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. Lord, make us sweet people so that we get back more sweetness, right? Righteous judging includes never, can we say never? Never condemning anyone. It is not good. We say never. Never condemn anyone. When my grandma passed, my father's father moved in with him. And at breakfast one day, he learned that my little brother was going through his third divorce. And he said, divorce again? He is doomed. He said it in those words. My mother said, listen here, don't you ever say that about your grandkid. But he was real religious and he didn't back down. Months later, he goes to Arkansas from Atlanta where they lived to Arkansas to visit his sister. She lived in the Wynn, Arkansas area, not too far from Memphis. And while staying with his sister, he was invited for dinner to the residence of a widow woman who was writing him. He had several widows writing him letters and friends. And so he caught a ride to go to her place for dinner. And his ride never came back to pick him up. And he had to sleep on her couch. Well, she lived in a retirement community. And he woke up and said, we have to get married, otherwise people will talk. So he married her without telling his kids or anything. She was a magpie. She never hushed. I'm being careful to not judge her. Yak, 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 yak. So, you know, we wanted to get to know her when we'd go visit him, but she wouldn't hush so we could just visit with granddad unless we went into another room. So he had never had any more peace and quiet for the rest of his life. Now let me ask you, who's doomed? Righteous judging includes never condemning anyone and stopping vocal sinfulness. Can you say gossip? Can you say talking too much? Look at this verse. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Folks, you can just talk too much. There is such a thing as talking too much. I think the old King James says, where there's an abundance of words, sin is not lacking. It's time for the conclusion to the conversation, the stories, before you cross the line and start judging folks. Don't do that. Righteous judging includes living a forgiving life. What is forgiving? It's giving beforehand. Forgiving. You're giving mercy before someone is worthy. And God's forgiven us, and we have never been worthy of his giving. So forgive, you give in advance. It comes from a heart of love. And sometimes when you do it, it's like being crucified. It's death to self, but life. Oh man, might be bitter in your mouth, but sweetness in your belly when it happens. This is the difference between us and little kids. Jesus told us to become his children, for of such they are the kingdom of is the kingdom of God. We can't enter the kingdom of God unless we become humble enough to realize we need a savior. And so we don't forgive on command, whereas children can forgive on command. I'd be so mad at my little brothers, and mama would come in and command me to forgive, and I would forgive, and I would let it go. Thank God, if you were here last Sunday, you heard this before, but you'll see a different video clip. Thank God for the free billboard. We just show the Lord some praise for this. Every time we drive past the church from town, we'll be reminded of this. Genuine Christians, not all Christians, but genuine ones, forgive like Jesus. And on there's a number that reaches people who will minister to you. And on there's a scripture text that points to Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Someone in my family was very bitter. And he would defend his bitterness by saying, well, even God won't forgive you unless you ask him. Well, we have an example of him doing it without people asking. They were cursing him. Father, forgive him. They know not what they do. And so therefore, that person's prayers were hindered. And he didn't enjoy the last years of his life because of bitterness. Watch this. Can we read the lyrics to one of the choruses to this song from the movie Frozen that's playing somewhere right now, thanks to on-demand television? Can we read it? Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Little girls across the country at certain stages of their childhood. She's grown past this now. That was Brynlyn, our first granddaughter, singing, let it go. The truth, a message to America. Let it go already. The perils of evil judging. Let's pray. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would take root in our lives in such a way we leave here different than the way we came. In Jesus' name. The words we say with our tongues and our pens, Lord, may we be tempered by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we worship, let's read verse 17, the last verse of James 4. Read it together. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Until the law came, we were not aware of sin. We're now aware. So there's no condemnation. Pastor, just stomp me in the ground. No, there's no condemnation. There's some things you didn't know. Now you do. And to not abide by it, you're choosing to live in sin. And we all say it together, let it go.
I'm People, right? But it takes the journeyman, it takes the believer, it takes the Christian to be that person that rebuilds. And that's what this sermon is all about. We are going to leave this place today and we are going to be the edifiers. We are going to be the truth speakers. We are going to be the people that build up individuals, that build up our community. We are not going to be that accuser that we see in Revelation 12. As a matter of fact, it's so spiritual, church. It's so spiritual. Do you know that when the accuser is cast out, he stands before the Lord and accuses each and every one of us day and night? That's what it says. And when he's cast out, the kingdom of God comes. The kingdom of God comes when the accuser is cast away. In Ephesians 4, it says that when we edify, we come into unity. And through that unity, we come into the knowledge of the fullness of Jesus. Edification leads to unity. Unity leads to the knowledge of Christ Almighty. This is an important concept. You all are edifiers. You all are truth speakers. Let's leave here today. Let's be that unity. Let's be that edification. Let's be that truth that this world needs. Amen? Let's do it.
Bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The peace that's based on his conquest, not ours. We don't have to win anything. He wins. And may all of your enemies be blessed by your life as you obey the Lord. And never forget, he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. God bless you. Go get him, Tigers. Let's leave this place forgiving one another. Amen.